Good Wednesday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by United Health Group.
And I'm Jake Sherman. The president went off script last night at the Susan B. Anthony Gala. He said he wasn't sure he believed that Republicans' vote in 2018 was nearly as important as it was in 2016. He even said, "Who the hell wrote that line?" Republicans are really hoping this doesn't become part of his shtick. Like, really, really hoping it doesn't, and hoping the Republican president doesn't downplay how important it is for his base to get out and vote in November.
A new Politico Morning Consult poll has some bad numbers for Trump. Stephen Shepard reports that Trump has several roadblocks to winning re-election in 2020. Pitted against a generic Democratic candidate, just 36% of voters say they would vote for Trump in 2020, compared with 44% who would pick the Democrat, the poll shows. One in five voters, 20%, are undecided. Meanwhile, our colleagues Eliana Johnson, Andrew Restuccia, and Nancy Cook report that Trump is demanding an overhaul in the White House comms team.
In the Department of Giving Credit Where It's Due, we said a while back that Congress was done and not to expect much legislative activity before Election Day. As one Republican leadership aide pointed out, they're having a pretty good week. Last night, the House sent the president the Right to Try bill and a long-fought bill to rework parts of Dodd-Frank. Today, the Senate is expected to pass a veterans reform bill. But do you know who is not having a great week? Paul Ryan. Headlines in the New York Times, Washington Post, and Politico all had pretty damning assessments on his weak hold on power.
Rachel Bade is out with a story illustrating Ryan's problems with two members of the House Freedom Caucus sounding off on the Wisconsin Republican on the immigration debacle. Scott Perry and Dave Bratt told Rachel they want Ryan to stop the discharge petition, which is a big change from the group's original charge to adhere to the House rules. Now, you don't see the HFC as a group coming out and lining up with Bratt and Perry. Why? Because some in the HFC see this as an example of a group that is slowly losing its way. Our colleague Natasha Korecki filed a scoop from Chicago where she reports that a prominent donor, former Exelon chair John Rowe, is threatening to cut off contributions to Republicans over DACA.
Primary night last night, former Georgia House Minority Leader Stacey Abrams won the Democratic nomination for governor. If she wins the general, she'll be the first black female governor in America. Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle will face Secretary of State Brian Kemp in a July runoff on the Republican side. Texas Republican Dan Crenshaw bested Kevin Roberts in one of the hottest congressional battles in the state to replace Ted Poe, a safe Republican seat. The Lexington Herald Leader has the report on a fail for national Democrats, with Amy McGrath beating former Lexington Mayor Jim Gray in Kentucky. A note of caution, Democrats are going to talk a lot about how this is a competitive race in November. McGrath faces Andy Barr, the Republican, in a district that's an R+9. He won by 23 points in 2016.
On the Senate side, Burgess Everett and Heather Cagle report that Dems' hopes of taking back the Senate is falling on Jackie Rosen, who is taking on Dean Heller in Nevada. And here's some of the top headlines this morning. The Washington Post is reporting that White House aides are preparing for a crucial meeting this weekend with their North Korean counterparts. While on the investigations front, the Wall Street Journal is reporting an Israeli intelligence company owned by Joel Zammel formed a venture with Cambridge Analytica. And the New York Times is reporting that Michael Cohen's business partner, who is known as the Taxi King, has agreed to cooperate with the government as a potential witness.
Ben Schreckinger reports that Republican donor Elliot Broidy is fighting back. He subpoenaed the Associated Press for information about the source of hacked emails that were the basis of recent reports about him. Here's what's on tap for Trump's Wednesday. In the afternoon, the president will fly to New York. He'll participate in an immigration roundtable at Morelli Homeland Security Center in Bethpage, New York. He'll then travel back to New York City to participate in a roundtable and dinner with supporters. He'll return to Washington tonight. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.